It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Morning, honey. Monday morning means chasing the word.
Here we go. Finally, the end of chapter 6 in the book of John.
You would think it was the longest chapter in the Bible, and it may be close to that. And this is at the end of a very long episode, I think, in Jesus' argument with people's unwillingness to see him for who he is.
Mm-hmm. Well, an unwillingness to be led by the Spirit, to be open to the Spirit of God, to hear the truth of what Jesus is actually saying.
Got three groups of people that seem to be identified in the last few stories of this chapter. All those who are hungry and eager to see him become the Savior and the liberator of the nation. Those who really want to follow him, including those in his inner circle. And all of the religious authorities that are now getting really riled up. Mm-hmm. The rancor is at a peak now.
Yes.
More than it's been earlier in the book. Jesus seems like he's managing all three of these groups at the same time. It must have been quite a scene.
It must have been. Last week we ended up talking about how Jesus was calling himself the bread of life and how he was offering himself as a sacrifice. Basically, he's telling these people, this is what's going to happen. He's saying, I am the bread of life. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And this got them just completely riled up, as you just said. Now we turn in verse 60 to what's happening among the faithful, the followers.
And at least two of these groups at this point are saying, this guy is stark raving mad. He keeps talking about weird things like cannibalism. What's going on with this? Verse 60 picks up, and this is Jesus and the disciples facing each other at the end of this whole episode.
Starting in verse 60. Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were complaining about this, asked them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life, but there are some among you who don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who would not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Therefore, Jesus said to the remaining disciples, you don't want to go away too, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus replied to them, didn't I choose you? The 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He was referring here to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he knew that he would betray him.
You know, in context of this story, it's interesting that Jesus would bring up a betrayal or a betrayer. It seems like the whole world has already turned against him, and the disciples are feeling that way too. And they're feeling like they've lost their moorings. Is it really going to be safe to follow this guy any farther? They're going through a lot right now because Jesus is saying really weird and hard things. We understand after all these centuries, what he's talking about is the spiritual reality, the food that feeds the soul. And that's the image he's trying to get people to focus on. Sink your teeth into a real meal, he's saying. And now he's left with those who are faithful. But even in the faithful, he's got a betrayer. So I think he's also preparing them for, you know what? Even if you think you've got it all together and you're the ones that will stick with me to the end, even you guys have the same issues as the rest of the world. Don't forget that. I think he's trying to temper their expectations too.
Well, Jesus says very plainly in this, you can't understand this unless the Father opens your eyes of understanding, opens your heart to understanding. Like we talked about earlier, the Holy Spirit has to illuminate these words for you. And we have the benefit of hindsight. We have the benefit of all of the centuries, like you said, of study and those who've gone before us, scholars,
millions
and
of people
millions
have studied
of people.
This word and shared what they learned.
Exactly. Yeah. And the benefit of having both of us grown up in this teaching in the church to hear these things. Yeah. And honestly, babe, if you look at this and you read this with fresh eyes, it is crazy talk. And I think about that. I want to read this in a new way, and I want my heart to be enlightened by these words, not just to read them because, oh, I've read John 6 however many hundreds of times throughout my life. It is hard to read these things because it's supposed to be. Well, it requires you to suspend all of the things that you think you already know.
Nice religion.
Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus is calling them to do. Suspend the belief that you have in religion, in organized theology, and listen to these words that are really hard and let the Spirit of God teach you.
I was listening to a theologian at Fuller Seminary talking about how he got kicked off of YouTube. His whole business is focused on training pastors and stuff and going through the hard stories of the Bible. And the weird thing was, when this guy started talking about the stories found in Genesis, he got to a point where the bots seized on all the terms that he was using. They were so provocative and so offensive that they were afraid they were talking about human trafficking and all kinds of things were getting pushed up to the top to the censors. He got kicked off of YouTube and put into review because he was reading the Word of God. Interesting response he made was that, you know what, they're right. There's nothing about the story that's meant to be dumbed down or made nice.
Right.
These stories are really, really hard, and God enters into a really rough story. And we forget how much agitation the real story caused with those who experienced it, and the gospel writers did not want us to think easy, smooth, nice thoughts about what Jesus was claiming or what he actually did, what he actually said to people. He wants people to hear what Jesus really said for themselves and to wrestle with how difficult it is to set aside all of these things we think are good religion and face the stark, raw reality that God is dealing with something that is going to eat us alive unless he does something about it.
Well, this whole story of what Jesus is saying causes us to consider what our commitment is to Jesus. And Jesus even says to the disciples that remained behind, mostly the 12, he says to them, you don't want to go away too, do you? It's almost like he's a little concerned about what he's been saying.
And maybe as a man he was, I don't know.
But I love how he gives them that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, he says, hey, I get it. You know, this is tough. What I'm saying is tough. You want to go too? Here's the open door. Obviously, a bunch of people have taken off and left. But Simon Peter, always the hero in these stories.
He's at these crux moments.
The bold and brassy one that steps up and makes the statement that maybe some of us want to make but are afraid to make.
And the rest of the disciples are saying, yeah, what you said.
Right.
And he does, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He says something that Jesus himself needs to hear from the Spirit of God. So it seems like the Spirit invades at times when he knows the Son needs it and speaks through those who are closest to him.
Yeah.
So Simon takes the hero spot for me too, honey. He's willing to say things that are hard, but also encouraging. And he also, I think, gives a backbone to the rest of the disciples at key times. And that's the gift that I think that God gave him through the Spirit. And I think that Jesus really did need to hear those things from Peter at that point.
Possibly so. I think this question that Jesus asks, though, is one that we all need to answer. You know, when things get rough, when things are confusing, when we read scripture that is really hard to take in, we need to answer that question from Jesus. You want to go too? Are you going to stick around? And then we have to decide, am I going to respond like Simon Peter responded and say, where else would I go?
Yeah.
Or am I going to say, this is just too hard and I can't keep going this way?
And he wants an honest answer, too.
For sure.
He's not wanting us to play happy with this thing and just be nice to him. He wants the truth out of us.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's truth is not an easy one for us to swallow either. It's like he does say, we're kind of desperate here. We have no plan B. If we are going to be living our lives like there is no plan B, because if we don't have plan A, what's the point? If we would live with that much abandon to say, we have nothing to go back to. Are we willing to say, therefore, I'll go wherever he leads? There's something to be said for burning your bridges. You know, you can't go back. And there was a lot to be said for the way that the Spanish decided to conquer the New World. Conquistadors did it by burning the ships behind them so that the sailors couldn't mutiny and leave. They had to go finish the mission, and then there'd be resupplies that would come the next year to take them back. You know, that's not a pleasant picture because that can be used for evil, right?
Right.
But when we're actually following Jesus, there's something to be said for we don't need an out here. In fact, if we had an escape clause, we're really not committed.
Yeah.
He does challenge us with those words.
Well, Peter makes the confession that you are the Holy One. We have nowhere else to go. we've decided, we've come to believe and to know for a fact that you are the Holy One of God. They have bought in. They have believed these words that are so hard to hear, but they've taken them in and they've eaten the flesh and drank the blood, yeah. Basically, is what Peter's saying. We've done it. We're yeah. in. We have to decide if we're going to do that too.
If we've committed a crime, then we're guilty of it.
Mm-hmm.
For 78 years now, we've depended on the faithful encouragement of friends just like you to bring this unique radio and media ministry to the air each day. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. This dynamic gospel is available to you in a handy paperback edition, and I'd love to send you one when you send your gift and ask for it. Remember, this is a 100% listener-supported ministry. If you've never supported us before, would you consider doing so this month? I know many of you can and want to give more, so I'll not be shy in asking for that support. Thank you for seriously considering this request and challenge. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay. Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today.
Let's turn to The Dynamic Gospel now and read from that version.
In verse 60 again, even the students of Jesus had a hard time with this message. They certainly couldn't explain it to anyone else. Do you have any clue what he's talking about? They asked each other. When Jesus heard what was going on, he asked them afterwards, seriously, this concept has you all tripped up? Why? You think I should just pack it up and head back to heaven where I came from? Is it that hopeless? This is spiritual food I'm talking about, and God's Spirit makes it possible for you to handle it. You'll never sort it out with worldly wisdom, that's for sure. What I'm telling you is full of the Spirit of life. Let the Spirit guide you to understanding. Sadly, this will never get through to those too stubborn to believe. Jesus said this knowing full well whose hearts were hard and who in particular would eventually betray him. Jesus continued, it's certainly true that no one stands a chance of following where I'm going unless the Father himself makes it possible. It's not a matter of personal willpower. This kind of calling is a pure gift. This line of teaching really rattled a lot of those who had followed Jesus for a long time. A large number gave up and headed for home. As the crowd dwindled, Jesus turned to his chosen 12. So, are you ready to pack up your bags and leave too? No one knew what to say. Finally, Simon Peter spoke up. Lord, if we quit you, where do we go? You keep talking about eternal life, and we still want it. Once we decided to follow you, you showed us that you are really the Christ, the living, breathing Son of God. Even if we don't understand, we still trust you. Jesus answered, all of you? You don't think right here in this group of 12 there might be someone yet ready to betray me? Jesus was referring to his student, Judas Iscariot, son of the elder Simon. It was already clear in Jesus' mind that Judas was going to betray him eventually. And there we have Jesus facing both future treachery, people abandoning him, and 12 really worried guys. Is there any future for any of us? We don't know. Mm. All we know is we have him. Mm. And I would think probably the strongest witness we'd ever have in our life would be at the point where we have nowhere else to turn but to him, mm-hmm. and we have a story to tell about that.
Yeah.
So I think some of the power of these disciples comes and shows up because of this encounter with a really difficult, unyielding, and unexplainable Savior.
Yeah. Well, he was relentless in his pursuit of this conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he just pounded on the Pharisees, the religious leaders in Capernaum when he's speaking in the synagogue. And we see him talking about the flesh and the blood and having to eat and drink it. And, mm-hmm. and he just keeps on with this. And he pursues this line of thinking so deeply and so vehemently, if you want, yeah. that it just really upsets everyone around. And yeah. I think even the remaining disciples, the 12 and the other followers that stayed with him, this probably didn't go away for a long time in their minds, thinking through the things that Jesus was saying.
It didn't go away at all. It's right there in the book. They wrote it down.
Right, right.
All the things that were written down in this book and the other Gospels, of course, were the highlights of 3 years of really intense conversations and ministry mm-hmm. and healings and all kinds of stuff going on, even before he got to the cross.
But you can think of things that you've heard that were really difficult things to hear, mm-hmm. like from a podcast or a sermon series or a friend that tells you a hard truth. Those things don't go away that quickly, and they just tumble over in your mind over and over. Imagine from the lips of Jesus hearing these hard truths and the Holy Spirit at that moment, like an arrow shooting it right into your heart. I think that's what's happening in some of this, mm-hmm. especially with the people who stuck around. It is just in them. These thoughts are in them. And these words of Jesus, they're having to process over and over. And I think more than once, am I going to stick with this? Am I able to stick with this? Is it even possible to keep going in this?
Yeah. There are a lot of things implied here, too, that we as moderns don't think a whole lot about, except if we sit down and actually study our theology. But I don't think it was too far away from those, even the street folks, from considering what Jesus was saying about bread being himself and mm-hmm. the blood being mm-hmm. his. Because the religious right, you want to call it that, they were absolutely the conservatives at the time, were hammering him because he was identifying with something that was always put separate.
Right.
You know, the innocent lamb was brought to slaughter and was served at the Passover feast with the bread that did not have yeast. The blood itself was to cover the sins, and the bread was to sustain you for a journey ahead. They know all these images. Mm-hmm. They practice them through ritual every year at Passover. And when Jesus starts saying, I am the bread of life, mm-hmm. not just to sustain you for the next day, a meal that gets you by, but one that actually creates in you something permanent. Mm-hmm. You know, if you draw me into yourself, if you'll chew on what I'm saying, the works that I'm doing, and really ruminate on it, like it would say about a cow chewing its cud, really digest this, you're not going to be the same.
Yeah.
And when he says, my blood is life for you, mm-hmm. he's identifying with the sacrificial lambs. Remember that the scapegoat or the sacrificial lambs were identified as being the ones that would take on the sin of others. They would eat the sin. So when he's saying, eat me, he's saying, I've already eaten your sin for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I am the blood that will cover your sins. My blood is that blood. So he's identifying himself with the most holy thing that God could do for man, which was to take away his sin. Mm-hmm. And he's also literally identifying with the blood in ways that go beyond just the metaphorical. And yet they can't see it yet because he hasn't done it yet for them. We can from this side of the cross. We right. know his body was broken like a loaf of bread being ripped apart. We know his blood was spilled like wine being poured from a jug. We've seen all that in the images of the church as long as we've been around it. Mm-hmm. They're essential to our understanding of God's not just metaphor, but his reality.
Right.
Jesus is not just telling him what's going to happen. He's saying, I am these things. Mm-hmm. So he's being poured out. He's being torn apart all along the way to the cross. He lives eternally torn. Mm-hmm. He lives eternally poured out.
That's a hard truth to hear, too. Yeah. Even today, that's a hard truth.
And he's being poured out to people who don't want it. Judas Iscariot gets to walk through all of this with him all the way to the cross. And yet he still turns away from it. That is another hard truth. How can someone be pouring out that and filling up their balloons with truth and with light and with hot air to lift you up from the depths? It's pneuma. That's what the Spirit's called so many times, is that pressure. Like pneumatic tubes or tires, when they're inflated, they carry you. When they're not, they're flat.
Yeah.
You know, he's filling us up. Mm. And he's doing it through pouring himself out. And that is the weird paradox of this whole thing, that Jesus is showing the way for us by showing where he's going to go. Mm-hmm. What are some closing thoughts on the chapter for you, honey?
The gospel is offensive.
Mm.
And
I wish we thought about that more.
We have to consider how Jesus set out to offend in so many ways. When I say that, I don't mean he was being rude or disrespectful in a way that, you know, he's attacking people's character or sarcasm or whatever we would think is offensive now. The truth that he spoke was difficult. It was a tough truth to hear because the people that he was speaking to thought they knew the truth already. They thought they knew what was up and what was supposed to happen and how religion was supposed to look and how the Messiah was supposed to look and all of the things that they were supposed to do, all the rules and the laws and the statutes and all of the things that they were supposed to keep. And Jesus upset it. And he comes in just blazing with this truth.
Yeah, a truth that sets you free.
Yeah.
And yet it's a truth that offends because those who are not willing to admit to truth about a lot of things are not going to admit to the big truth. Mm-hmm. They'd rather pursue a lie. The truth of Jesus is offensive to anybody who is opposed to that kind of truth, mm-hmm. which means that those who are opposed to that truth are in league with the devil because the devil doesn't want this truth loose on the world either.
Right.
We have to be very conscious of the fact that if truth offends us, if the word of God itself offends us, not about an issue, about things that are outside of us, but about the things inside our hearts, if we are offended by those things, God's doing his work.
Right.
But again, it's not about the external things, about God being on our side the way we vote, or the way we think social issues ought to be decided, or how societies ought to be built. About the heart, if we're willing to let him offend us and show us the way into his truth, it's not just an offense to us, it's an open door to him. And he's welcoming us into his heart if we're willing to step across that threshold and leave our offenses behind in order to pursue him.
I think it's all a work of the Spirit again, being open to the work of the Spirit and trusting that that offense is meant to bring us into right relationship with Jesus.
What a powerful chapter. Moving on to the next phase of Jesus' life is going to be a very interesting pivot. But this chapter for me is really one of those things where we don't spend a lot of time contemplating how important this confrontation with truth was for his own disciples and for the entire world.
Well, this is where the rubber meets the road, as you would say.
We'll try to meet more of the road with more rubber on next week's Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word. And of course, we'll see you tomorrow on Compassion Radio.
There's no greater name than Jesus. At its mention, darkness hides. All creation stands in wonder, and heaven glorifies. I will declare his goodness. I will declare his love. My life will testify forever all that he is. Oh, no sweeter name than Jesus. I have tasted, I have seen. There's no sweeter name than Jesus, a friend when I'm in need.
God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today. Remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or make your gift through our website, compassionradio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.